Is the response of reading, except I'm reading it this day. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. It's the candle of hope, where we look outward and await his second coming while rejoicing over his first coming. Hope is the way to cope in a difficult world. Thank you, Jesus. Won't you love him? He put hope in our soul. He's the only one that fulfills it. He's the only one that can do it. And we thank him so much. Please bow with me as we look to him this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the hope that you give. Lord, this is not wishful thinking. This is not, I hope it works out. This is a firm expectation based on absolute promises and the absolute nature of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our God and Savior, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your house, especially since we missed last week. We thank you, Lord God, for a firm place under our feet to walk. And we thank you, Lord, that we are founded in the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ that takes us forward. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We pray, Lord, your blessing on those today that need your touch. I think this morning, Lord, of Dory, Lord, as she goes to visit her great-grandson, little Easton, who apparently needs a heart, and they have not found one, and he's in jeopardy this day. Father, we ask on this Lord's Day that you'd give him your heart. You would give him, Lord, the ability in that little heart, Lord, to beat beyond what the doctors will ever understand, and keep him alive and bring that heart, Lord, so this young child can grow up to worship you and to be a testimony of the grace of God. Lord, grant strength to Dory and her family, Lord Jesus, and may they wrap their lives around you, Lord, as they spend this time, Lord, in this passage of life. We pray, Lord, for Chris Arnold today. Lord, we thank you that you protected him in that accident, Lord, this week. We ask, Lord Jesus, for you to bring full healing, Lord Jesus, to him and strengthen him, Lord, for all that he has to do and all that he is looking to do. And we thank you for him, Lord Jesus, today. Minister to those that need your touch, to Marcella, to Wendy, Lord Jesus, to so many, God, that are even with us today. Touch those that have back issues. Lord, may the anointing of God go from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. May they sense the warmth of your Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you, Lord, for it. And I pray, Lord, that your hope would rise up within us, Lord, as a light to warm our heart and also, Lord, to give us safe passage. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a couple of announcements. You guys can just stay up here and look at the nice people. Number of years ago, around Christmas time, people would donate toward a poinsettia. And what we're going to do this year again is, we would have done it last year, but we kind of had help, and that whole thing kind of went away. But anyhow, what we're going to do is we're ordering, I believe it's going to be 5 poinsettias to decorate the altar area. And then, but because sometimes people want to donate, give a love offering toward the ministry, and we were thinking that the Hezbollah, the orphanage, and the work with the little children is so important, and at Christmas, especially when we think of the mother and the baby, Lord, it's a great ministry. If you would like to donate toward it, put it in your check and in the memo, and then if you'd like to do it in memory of somebody or to honor somebody, we'll note that in the service as we get toward Christmas. But if you'd like to do that love offering, you can certainly do that. And that's a plant that will live forever, okay? Because it's the seed of God's word that goes in the hearts of people. So I want you to think about that. Then Dave has something he's going to put on here, if he's obedient as usual. The back pew. How many remember that? Just about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Nobody said when you come to church you got to have your swimming trunks. But, you know, if that was the case, that might have been the way that it went. So because we believe in remembering the goodness of the Lord and his faithfulness, and hasn't he been faithful? He has been wonderful. You all received a bottle of water. This is a commemorative bottle. You can drink the water. No, you don't have to keep the bottle, but now you guys can come back up. And we're going to toast the Lord. We survived the flood of 2009 with living water and grace that's divine. How many know God has been faithful? It was pure water that flowed through this place, and I pray and you pray that the living flowing of the Holy Ghost not only takes it 4 feet, takes it over the top. Okay, let's toast the Lord, and then let's greet each other. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You, Jesus. Greet each other. Amen. Now, there might be some that say, now, why are you going to bless a couple boxes? Because of what's in the boxes. Because of where it goes. And we don't know exactly who's going to receive this food, but God knows. He knows exactly. He knows what life is going to be touched by boxes that are blessed and prayed for. How many believe we should bless the work of God? Yes. You know, it takes that food and it puts wings on it. And it brings it into the heart of somebody who could be starving in more ways than one in this county and in this world. So let's pray and bless the boxes and the people that will receive them. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all as we look at these boxes that you have given to us food, sustenance, jobs, resources, Lord, that we're not sitting there wondering where our next meal may be coming from. But there are so many that are. And there could be people here that have experienced just that. Father, I thank you so much that you come just in the right time. Though you don't dwell in time, you use it for your glory. And when people look at the clock and think, Lord, are you coming at all? Lord, you know exactly when that need needs to meet that provision. Father, and I pray in Jesus' name for every piece of food and love that has been put in these boxes, that, Lord, you would multiply it as you multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And, Lord, you would do more than that. You would waken up the spirits of those that receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as they partake, and they would not even necessarily understand it, Lord, the chains would fall off. And they would realize Jesus Christ is real and his church is alive. And you have come to give us living bread. Lord God, I pray for all of those reasons and so many more that you would minister, Lord, through these boxes and bless those that were able to participate in it. Lord, and for those that could not, we pray you'd also multiply and meet their needs. Lord Jesus, as a great reminder to the Christian, even if we've been on the path a long time, today, we still need the mercies of God, for they are new every day. Lord Jesus, bless these boxes for your intended purpose. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand for one of the great hymns. Yeah. ask you to bow your heads for a moment. Did you know that there doesn't have to be a path in front of you because everything God does, he does unprecedented? That means it has not been done before. That means his creative genius is at work in our lives. And we will not necessarily see a path in front. We will not see the direction which way God is going to work it out. We don't need to see the path. We need to see the presence of the Savior. God will make a way because he is the way. And we put our trust in him. And you're here today and you say, I don't see a path. I can't see one. You're right, you can't see it. But God does. And you'd say with an upraised hand, I need that hope today. I need it right now. I need hope in him. And my faith will rest in what he sees, not in what I see. Lord, elevate our eyes to see you. If you're here today and you'd raise your hand and say, I need hope today for something in my life, in my family's life, or wherever it might be, you raise your hand so I can pray especially for you today. Raise your hand wherever you are. Our Heavenly Father, you see the hands, you see the hearts. And Father, we know, Lord God, you do not look upon us with disregard. Your heart bleeds for those whose hearts are broken. You whisper your strength and your grace upon us because we are broken. You do everything, Lord, because we can do nothing. And it's in that nothing state that God created the world. It's in that nothing state that you went to the cross because our righteousness was as filthy rags. It's in that state that we can accomplish nothing, that God, you can do everything. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would do just that. Lord, ignite your power, your answers, into the lives and through the lives as they have raised their hand to you to indicate, Lord, to you, they know they need you. And then for those of us, Lord, that sometimes don't know, show us anyway of the grace and the power of the only begotten. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that only you can give us. Lord, you are truly the night and the light, Lord God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you take us through whatever, because, Lord, in God, there's no darkness or light. You are always going to take us, Lord, in the clear path. Father, I pray your blessing upon your word, not my words, but your word. Enrich us deeply, Father, into the soil of the word of the living God. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have entered Advent season. Don't you love Advent? You know the word Advent, what it means? Comes from the Latin Adventus, and it means an arrival. How many know when somebody's coming, when there's arrival, there's all kinds of activity? You realize that now that they have set a wedding date for Prince William and Kate Middleton over in England, that they're already getting down to the seconds, where the carriage will be, when it will arrive, when the flowers will come, what songs will be played. They take nothing for granted in their precision and in all of their arrivals. Imagine all of the work the Lord has done in preparing for his arrival. I was telling Vernita the other day, all the work that was done for Thanksgiving. We have to haul everything from the basement. I should probably just have it in the basement. But nonetheless, to haul it all upstairs, have a nice meal, then haul it all back down again. Everything just for one day, for one meal, actually. And my family comes in, blows in town, and blows back out. And you can tell they've been there. But that's good. We had a good time. But think of everything the Lord did for one day called Mount Calvary. Think everything he did for his arrival, because he wanted it just so. Advent season. Arrival. The arrival of the baby. You know, that's the same word we get the word adventure. How many believe that being a Christian should be an adventure? I know Dennis and Marianne have great adventures. They should put it to music sometime. Adventure on a path. The Lord is certainly never boring. The title of the message is Sign Language in Bethlehem. Sign language. Now, my dad was deaf, so we had to kind of learn. He never did learn sign language, but we did learn what a few things meant. They wouldn't have probably taught them that in sign language. But I did learn that this is high, and so hello, everybody. It's good to see you. I know. Yes. Hi. But I thought about another sign language, and that's the signs along the road that tell you where you are and where you're supposed to go. And they tell you, you're almost there to Perkins. You're almost there to that city. They give you an indicator along the path, along that great adventure, so you know where you are and how far you are from your destination. How many have ever heard of Wall Drug in South Dakota? Okay. Yeah, been there. It's like a whole city, I think. But do you know there's a sign in the Netherlands that says, or used to say, maybe they got rid of it now, Wall Drug is 5,397 miles away. I think at that point, you better buy your stuff there. They also, and this is a great PR idea for the people at Wall Drug, actually, they put hundreds of signs along the road going out to South Dakota. You always know it's 200 miles away, it's 150 miles. You know you're going in the right direction, right? They also have them at bus terminals in London. They have the sign at the Taj Mahal. Rail commuters in Kenya. Now, is somebody in Kenya going to just come up and go, gee, I feel like I need to go buy some aspirin. I think I'll go all the way to South Dakota. But nonetheless, it builds your anticipation, doesn't it? My, Wall Drug must be something. Personally, I was sick of looking at the signs when we went out there. I went, okay, all right, already. I'll see it when I get there. But it is huge, and my understanding is that the employees of Wall Drug in that vicinity are about a third of the town. So they need that advertisement. They need people to come to that little town so that they can all have a job. I want you to turn to 24th chapter of Numbers, if you would. We're going to go around the... I'm going to get to the actual text in a bit. The star... This is the sign I'm going to talk about today, the star. There's been a lot of questions and conversations through the years of the Star of Bethlehem. There are people that have, they do great seminars on it. They do all kinds of things on it. Personally, I believe it was a one-of-a-kind, a one-time thing, and I don't believe that man will ever fully understand it. I do not. God will not give his glory to another. But it did exist, and it was a sign and an indicator, so they knew how to get there. The history of it, one of the areas, is in the 24th chapter of Numbers. We're back with Balaam, and he was the prophet, and Balak, the king of the Moabites, was trying to get him to curse Israel, and God was not in favor of that. But in the 15th verse, Balaam utters his oracle, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eyes see clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, and this is Shaddai, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. He says in the 17th verse, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel and crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered, but Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of that city. The star is a heavenly body, isn't it? So the first sign we're talking about is a sign where you have to look up. You have to look up to see a star. When I was still in high school and had been recently saved, every day I walked to school, and I kid you not, every day I looked up in the sky and I was waiting for it to say, it's time to go home. In other words, the rapture's coming. I kept waiting for the clouds to tell me I didn't have to go to school. That was the main reason. But you look up, you focus up, and that's what the star is meant to do. And in this day, we have the Moabites. And remember, even though God's going to judge these people, this is something to keep in mind no matter what. You know, Ruth was a Moabitess. Moses was buried in the land of Moab. How many know that God leaves a witness, even in an area, if he's going to judge it? God is that gracious. Aren't you glad? I'm sure glad, because I'm almost sure he's not crazy about a lot of the things that are done in Minnesota. But he's kept a witness here for his grace, for his mercy. And so the star that came out of Jacob, it's coming out of the Old Testament, out of the patriarchs, out of God's personal presence. And we know it comes down through Judah, because the scepter comes from that line. And that is what we understand in the New Testament as Jesus Christ. The star, which I think is interesting, is created on the fourth day of creation. The stars, the sun, the moon, all the heavenly beings. And Judah was the fourth son here, as it goes on into the Old Testament. But how many know the Lord is the light above the stars? Okay? He uses the stars. And that's what it's talking about. He is the heavenly body that's going to come down in a physical way, and he is going to be the king. You don't have a scepter unless you have a king. That is a ruling piece for the king and for their dominion. And so it comes through the line of Judah. Now I want you to flip over to Matthew, because this is where we see the story come into our understanding of what we always learned was the three wise men. You know, there was more than three. People think it's three because they had three groupings of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it wasn't three gifts, and it wasn't three wise men. They generally traveled in groupings, in schools, they called them. And in Matthew, which is the book that reveals the Messiah to the Jews, the star that led them brings them to the place where Jesus lay. The first verse, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, you would not want him in your home, I can guarantee you. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. These people, the Magi, were astrologers, and they read the stars. And they were looking for answers to their lives. And so they saw a peculiar, an unusual, a one-of-a-kind star, and they followed it. I find it very interesting here that people that study the stars actually were not studying it. They were just following where it was. It was in the control box. It was leading them. They were not leading it. This is why we have to be very careful in life when we study things, philosophies, or if it goes into occultism or anything of that nature especially. Be very careful because they will lead you. You will not lead it. It's imperative that it is Jesus Christ we study. It is imperative we study his life, and everything else is judged by that. Because I can guarantee you, the stars will take your way out. If you study them, we need to appreciate them. We need to enjoy them. But I always tell people, let's worship the one who created the stars, not worship the stars. But these people were astrologers, and this was what they did. They studied, they interpreted dreams, they did all these things. And so they're coming to the area where they believe the king is going to be. Why do they go to Jerusalem? Because it's the city of kings. And because they don't know to go to Bethlehem yet. Do you know something? Astrology, philosophies, anything in the world, you know what it does? It gives you questions, doesn't give you answers. All it does is make you wonder. Jesus Christ is the only one in his word that gives answers. There is nobody else. Everyone else, there's a question mark behind it. And so they come and they said, we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Now the last thing King Herod wants is for anybody to worship anyone other than him. So he has a problem. And when King Herod was upset, everybody was upset. This is the guy you did not want at your kitchen table, I can guarantee you. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Of course, he was disturbed already, but nonetheless. And all Jerusalem with him. When he got upset, the whole town was upset. There are stories of when he knew his end was coming, he had all kinds of people murdered, so there'd be great wailing and great mourning at the time of his death. They weren't crying for him, but he wanted it to appear that way. This was a maniac. And then he called all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ, where the Messiah, where the anointed one, was going to be born, and they said, in Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. They knew it. Were they looking? No. Religion doesn't always look for it, you know. They could tell you, but they don't look for it. It's the seekers. Those are the ones that look. And so the Magi were looking. And Herod actually helped them out. Because he said, now you can go, you can find this child, and then when you find him, come back and tell me because I want to go worship him. Did he want to worship? No. The pretense of worship was the way he got them to go. He had no intention to worship. He was not looking for worship. He was looking for people to worship him. And so we're going to talk about Bethlehem in a couple of weeks as another sign. But you know what's wonderful about the Magi? Even though they followed astrology, even though that was their whole life and their understanding, when the Spirit of God spoke to them through the angels and through their own life, they could tell in their spirit it was the truth. And I believe that they would have forsaken astrology totally. Because when you find the answer, when you search and you find, you don't need to search anymore. Your answer is done. Your soul is satisfied. And I believe they were satisfied. They no longer needed to search out astrology because all it provided was questions. It didn't give them answers. The star that led them, and by the way, we've talked about this, maybe you remember it, when they came here, it says they came to the house where the child lay. He wasn't a baby then. He was probably about 2 years old. He was in the terrible twos, but I'll bet he was a good baby. But they arrived because it took time to travel. It takes a little while. How many know the Lord will wait for you when you're searching for truth? Aren't you glad the Lord is patient? I don't know, I am. I certainly am. The star is who? Jesus Christ. We're talking here not just about a star and a visible heavenly being. We're talking mostly about Jesus Christ, who controls the stars and who is the light of the world. Now I want you to turn to one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 9. It is on the board, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. How many are glad for the star and the scepter and the authority in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? You realize through the Bible that there is what's called double prophecy, where he's come the first time, and then there's still a second awaiting because God completes it. That's how God works. He works in his movements, kind of like a beautiful symphony. He works in movements, and there's a crescendo unto the end of the age, which is coming along quite quickly, don't you think? That star is Jesus Christ. And there's a dual thing here. He says, unto us a child is born, and at the same time a son is given. Can you see in your vision, in your mind, at the same time that Jesus is born, that son has been given, that gift has been bestowed? It is an earthly relationship of a baby. It is a heavenly relationship of the son that has been given for us. Wonderful, wonderful portion of the dual relationship that unfolds in the great book of Isaiah. The word here, when it says the child is born, is the Hebrew yelad, and it means to bear, to bring forth, to beget. And beget means you beget after your own kind. That means when the son is given after the father, in the same spirit and substance of the father. He is what? The deity. We talked about that. The fullness of the deity, bodily dwelling in him, even as a baby. There are people that think he picked that up later in life. He didn't. He would have had it immediately, because he was God. He was born God on this earth. Now, it talks about the government is on his shoulders, and I like that, because if you've ever seen an investiture, or in a royal sense, they have the person kneel and they put the scepter on their shoulder as a way of transferring authority. Jesus has full authority. This son, this child, has the full authority of heaven upon him. And if you think Herod was nervous, imagine what the devil was doing. They probably thought there was an earthquake. He was just being upset, because he thought, you know, I thought we were done with him. I don't even know. I just don't think this is a good one. He was right. It was the end of him. It was the beginning of life. And he goes on to say here some of the great names and identifying traits of this Messiah. He's wonderful. You know what this word means in its basic sense? Wonder. Have you ever, you look up at the stars and you say, oh, aren't they wonderful? There's a wonder in the sky. That's what this is, a wonder. Philia means an unusual and extraordinary wonder in the sky. You cannot duplicate it. You cannot replicate it. You cannot do anything because it was, it is, and it always will be that perfect Son of God. And when he came as the star, nobody else came close. In fact, you want to trust any other belief system, it will be inferior. I don't know about you, but I'm not hooking my eternity on inferior product. That's just not happening. It says, wonderful. Then it's got a counselor here. You know what this word means? It means an advisor. And every king and every president and every person in any capacity has a counselor of some sort, has an advisor. In legal terms, they call him of counsel, somebody that gives you advice on different issues in life as you go forward. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's his own counselor, folks. He doesn't need anybody else's wisdom. He doesn't need to go into the other room and go, say, what do you think I should do? He's already his own wonderful counselor. He's extraordinary. The mighty God, this is El, the God of the nations, the powerful, mighty El, and the everlasting Father. The word Father in Hebrew is Ab. In the New Testament, we know it as Abba Father, where it gets a little more personal, where it gets to Daddy, but it still has the eternal component of the fatherhood. Jesus is the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They're all one together, and yet they're individual. It is the Trinity working through the kingdom. And finally, the Prince of Peace. You know, if there's one word that came out of the 60s, beside the word love, that people didn't really know the definition for, the word peace. And they still use that. You ever seen people from the 60s, they get like this, the peace sign? Yeah, doesn't mean I wish I had a V8. It means peace. And they're still flashing that symbol. They're still praying for peace. Give peace a chance. They got all the songs, and I like some of the songs. But they don't have an eternal component. They cannot give you an eternal component because they were not from heaven. Only somebody from heaven, only the star that came from heaven could really give eternal peace. He's the only one. And if you're looking for a sign, a visible sign, that Jesus Christ is it, the Magi saw it. And then they were warned to go a different way. Don't go the way you came. You know, as Christians, that's probably not a bad message. Don't go the way you came. How'd you come to the Lord? I don't know about you, but I came out of a cannon. I don't wish to go back that way. I'd like to go back a better way. Go forward from where we are into the grace and the power of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the star, no question about it. A one-time, one event, occurrence, and when that star came and was over the place, they knew it was the one they were looking for. And then the angel said, go a different way back, because he knew they were in jeopardy, because Herod would have had them killed right after they told him where he was. And the Lord protected them. And I would imagine, it doesn't say, but I would still think they did not go back to their astrology. They did not go, because it would have been empty now. They would have had no fullness at all. When you find the answer, you don't have to search anymore. And they found the answer. The star in Bethlehem was one of the great signs of the providence of God. The problem is that there are many people that prefer to worship the star instead of the Son of God. And I want to serve and worship the sun, not the stars that he created, and not the one that was extraordinary. Worship the sun. He's the one that brought us here. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that's coming again. He is Almighty God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the signs in Bethlehem and the signs that bring us there. Lord, you wanted people to come. You wanted the wise men from another land, a different culture. You wanted them to come and to view the birth of this child. Even though they got there when he was a child, they still saw him in his fullness. And in your grace and in your mercy, you allowed them to take that journey, that adventure, to find him. Along the way, you used a terrible king who had only evil in his heart, but you used his inquisitiveness to fuel them to go farther. And I thank you, Lord, for the things in our lives that you use. They're difficult, they're painful, but Lord, in your hand, they can be a blessing and to bring us closer to Jesus Christ. And then when we find you and you reveal yourself to us, Lord, there's no going back because it's all empty. And that star has dimmed, and now I'm just in darkness, unless I follow the light of light, which is Jesus Christ himself. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your providence. Thank you for your kingdom. And as we celebrate the first Advent, we know you're coming again. And you've put many signs and wonders within this world, not so we follow them, but so that we're alerted to it. And we know it is sooner today than it was when we first came to Christ. Keep our eye in the sky. Keep our eye to you, O star of the morning. Lord Jesus, hold us in your arms, Lord, as we navigate this wicked world. Father, I thank you for your presence and your patience and your desire that we each, on this adventure road we're on, Lord, you show us who you really are. And we'll abandon everything else in the light of your glory and grace. And I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a chorus. Isn't he beautiful? Reminds me of this portion from Isaiah.
Peace, Son of God, is indeed.
How many are glad he's leading us somewhere? It's not in the dark. It's in the light. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up and to close the service in prayer.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we praise you for Jesus, the hope of all the world, to whom all shall come, and before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thank you that because he who knew no sin became sin for us, we could become your righteousness, we could become your children, your sons and your daughters. And we thank you that Christ can dwell in us through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus to us and all that he has said. And we pray that you would go with us now, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, with your presence, that we might know you and people might see you in us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.